And now for reading and writing and radio.
Griselda Curfew lived with her great-grandmother in the last cottage in the lane. She was 10 years old, and her great-grandmother was 110 years old, and there was not as much difference between them as you might suppose. If Griselda's great-grandmother had been twice, or thrice, or 4 times 10 years old, there would have been a great deal of difference, for when you are 20, or 30, or 40, you feel very differently from when you were 10. But 100 is a nice round number, and it brings things home in a circle. So Griselda's 10 seemed to touch quite close to the 10 of great-grandmother Curfew, who was 100 years away, and yet so very near her.
The author of that story of youth and age was Elnor Fargin, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today we're talking about age, and we have with us myself, Jackie Jackson, and I am 50 years old. I just recently had a birthday, which gives me a half a century. We have Elizabeth Graham, who is 86, going on 87. We have Jillian Jackson, who is 20. And Elspeth Jackson, who is 13. So we have young...
The gamut.
We have the gamut. Young, middle age, and old age.
Except probably a lot of people who are listening think 13 is some towering.
They may, and we'll talk about that in just a second. I wanted to tell our listeners that when I first conceived of this program and wrote it in the manual, it was going to be on old age. And the more that Jill and Els and Elizabeth and I talked about it, the more I realized that we didn't want to talk just about old age, we wanted to talk about age. There's a cartoon that maybe some of you saw, High and Lois, and one of the parents says something about how so-and-so is getting quite old. And you see little Trixie, who's the baby, and you see what she's thinking above her head as a kid about the age of Dot and Ditto, the twins. And Dot and Ditto, who are about first grade, in the balloons above their head, they're thinking of somebody that's about as old as their big brother Chip, who seems to be, what, seventh, eighth, ninth grade?
Yeah.
Whereas Chip himself is thinking of somebody around 20. And then whichever parent didn't say it is thinking the parents are, what, in their mid-30s or late 30s. They have a picture above their heads of somebody that's, oh, maybe pushing 60. Whereas the grandpa, who's there in the picture, he is picturing somebody sitting in a rocking chair with a cane and a hearing aid and his teeth in a cup, wasn't it, all bent over?
Uh-huh.
So that everybody, when they said old, had a vision of somebody, you know, just a little older than they were. And Jill, you said you had just that reverse experience once. Can
right.
you tell
someone,
us that?
Someone was telling us a story about some little boys they knew. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the story, these little boys got on motorcycles and drove away. And
you were how old at the time?
I was 10, and the folks, well, Elspeth was with me, and she must have been four.
And Megan was 12, your sister?
And we all said, wait a minute, how old are these little boys? And person telling us a story said, oh, about 16. And Megan said, I thought they were about 10. And I said, I thought they were about 6. And Elspeth said, no, little boys are 2.
So you see, age, we decided, was something really very relative. And I got thinking back to when I was a kid, I thought, you know, 20 years old seemed to be about as far as I could think. You know, there were older people than that. But by the time you were 20, I figured you were going to be grown up, you were going to be mature, you were going to be perfect. And I figured by the age of 20, I would have reached perfection. Well, when I got up to be about 17 or 18 or 19, I realized it was going to take a few more years beyond 20 before I achieved perfection. And now, of course, I'm old enough to know that I'm never going to achieve perfection, and it's really quite a relief to know that I don't have to.
When I was 10 years old, my very beautiful cousin and the boy that she was engaged to marry came, and 18 years old. And then I heard about somebody who was 30 years old and wasn't married yet. And it seemed to me to be as old as Methuselah, that you were 30 years old and you weren't married and no chances of getting married.
Well, you were about to die then.
I mean, you're over the hill at 30.
Well, you know, this is something that is changing at the moment. Back in the 60s, you know, anybody over 30 was almost the enemy. Well, not so much old maid. It was just that they no longer...
Don't trust anyone over 30 was the phrase.
But that group, you see, that wasn't trusting anybody over 30, they're now over 30. And so this whole idea of the Pepsi generation, you know, Pepsi has quit those ads, haven't they? About everybody having to be young... In order to...
Well, now they're pushing active.
Yeah. Well,
they
this is...
They still use the phrase, but it's
no,
not...
No, they don't.
Well, this is where I
see
the difference.
It's embedded in those songs.
Which is how you are inside as compared to how your body is outside is what
you're
makes
right.
you... Is what gives you age. That you're as old almost as you think you are. That if your mind stays active... If you treat your body right, usually it is much more, you know, there's some old people that are very active and others that sort of do take to the rocking chair or just sit in front of the TV and turn into vegetables. But it's more a frame of mind, isn't it, Elizabeth? Here you are up at the crack of dawn and out working at the Lindsay home all day long at the age of 86. You carry on a schedule that most young people would be exhausted at.
Somebody said to me, are you sick? And I said, what makes you think I'm sick? Well, she said, everybody gets sick when they get past 70. And so I decided I'd better get sick to meet with the proprieties. If everybody does it, you know, it's the thing to do in the popular idea.
That's a good point, Elizabeth. Earlier, I was going to tell on this program about how many children's books are now being written that include old people, because this is a lack in the older children's books of the 60s and the 50s, and now they are beginning to write in old people in the books. And we have a great many books that now have old people in them, but one of those books is called Nana Upstairs and Nana Downstairs. And the great-grandmother is upstairs and the grandmother is downstairs. And the little boy in the story says to Nana downstairs, the grandma, why does Nana upstairs have to be tied into her chair? And the grandmother says about the great-grandmother, because she is old. Well, no, it's not. She doesn't have to be tied into her chair because she's old. She has to be tied into her chair because she's sick. And this is giving the wrong idea to kids. That, you know, when you get old, you have to be tied in your chair. And that's simply not true. Often infirmities go with old age, but there are many old people that are very spry and, you know, keep active right up until the end. And here you are at 86, very active, and here was your friend who was over 100. She wasn't tied in her chair, was she?
She's beautiful. And beautiful from the last day she was alive.
She died at 105 recently, and
yes.
She was still moving around. And
alive and concerned about everybody in every age.
So
the
that
children meant everything to her. Are these children being repressed? Are they given an opportunity? What's happening all over the world? And those questions are in her mind every minute.
So that even at 105, she had a young spirit. Her body was old, and yet it wasn't an infirm sort of body. So that what I would like to see in books for children is an accurate portrayal of all ages, which lets us know that people are people, no matter what the age.
I like what my mother did with my nephew, John Kenneth. And she'd say to him, "Now I feel so safe when you take me down these steps. You're so strong and you're so sure and you're such a comfort to me." Well, he just swelled, his chest blew out, you know. He felt fully the man. He was taking care of his grandmother. And mother was proud as could be of him. He was most grateful to her. I think that idea that age ceases to feel and age ceases to be hurt. Any age can be hurt. You can hurt your mother. You can hurt your sister. You can hurt. The bus driver is most careful when he sees my cane to pull in closely to the curbing because he knows I'm uncertain of foot. And I appreciate the fact that he pulls right up to the curbing, and so does everybody there. And if it's a rainy day or anything of that sort, he'll say, "Let me take your arm, won't you? That's very nice. I like it." I don't like when somebody acts as if the old crone's in the way here. Why doesn't she stay at home? She's too stiff to be walking out publicly. I resent that. I think anybody should resent it. I think that she should be the feeling there. But I would feel the same way if you, young people, were treated that way. It's an arrogance. It's an impudence. It's an unfriendliness. It's a kind of feeling for the personality of the person that you feel this person has that feeling. Sometimes some of the people who very insistently that I sit in the front seat, they open the door for me. Well, I know that I'm stiff of leg and so on, but I don't like to be reminded of it every time they turn around. You don't like that amount of attention, and neither would you like it. In other words, at your age of 20, at your age of 13, at your age of 50, you don't have to be treated as if you were some old fool.
Or some young fool.
Or some young fool, exactly.
Too young to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And there's a dignity about you. In your own personality, you believe in yourself. You're honest. You're friendly. You have no hostilities, and you don't want anybody else's hostility. You don't want to show hostility, but you don't want to be shown hostility. There's a courtesy that's an innate courtesy.
Is this the way you feel, Jill and Else?
Yeah, sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So often, kids are not respected. Just the way old people are not respected.
I can't abide it the way they treat some children.
Or even just children in general.
Yeah.
Because when they're convenient, like people around my age and stuff, when it's convenient, they treat them like they're adults. But then when it's convenient, they treat them like children.
And part of the time they're showing off that they're kindly to you. And you sense it.
Well, also,
yeah.
Just the opposite, that like at movies and stuff, from 12 up you pay to be an adult. But you don't get to see the adult films. You have to pay the same thing as the adults do, but you can't see what they do.
In other words, Vachel's poem, do not stuff them with children's books. That is that patronage that you have toward children. Don't keep honest words from them.
Let
them have them.
I'd take exception. I mean, his use of children's books, I know what he means. But there
are
many.
He makes it very clear that he doesn't hold out against because they're children's books.
Yeah, because there's many non-patronizing.
It's the idea that you can't let them use certain words.
All words
or
are
certain things or
certain ideas.
Yeah. Or
they're not to be exposed. They have the mind that can understand it. Phooey.
They mustn't be told they're hustled out of the house when their dog dies, you know, and it's carefully disposed of.
And then they come home and gone,
this is true, that children and old people are often treated very much the same.
Very much.
They are not told
protected.
Things, they are protected. Don't tell Grandma, it will upset her. Don't let the little kids know because it will upset them. And they aren't treated fully as persons. And I think we want to be treated as persons at every age. And to recognize that, as you said, that our feelings can be hurt at 10 or 20 or 50 or 80. And we often
shouldn't have arrogance. We shouldn't have cruelty. But we should have feelings. And we should be hurt sometimes.
I keep thinking about this inner person that is me.
Right.
And I had an inner person when I was 4 and 8 and 20 and 40 and 50. I have it now, and I can't see that inner person is really any different. I mean, I've grown some, I've learned some things, I've become in some ways more mature, but I can revert back to feeling, you know, very insecure and lonesome, and I can feel like a little kid again. That inner me seems to be ageless. And yet my body is getting older, my hair has turned white. One of these days I'm not going to be able to run as fast. I still run a lot, but you know, one of these days I'll probably have to quit running. Although I do know some old people that still gallop along pretty hard. Our friend Irene, who's, what, a senior citizen and just won some marathon somewhere.
I don't know about a marathon, but... good-sized races, anyway.
But the you that is Jill and the you that is Elizabeth and the you that is Elspeth, and the me that is me, that doesn't really have a numerical age as far as I can see. Our bodies grow up around us, and I've heard you, Elizabeth, lament that your body won't do the things that you want it to do anymore, and that's one of the sad things about
your
growing
ears,
up.
Your eyes, mm-hmm. and those things, your memory, that does leave people, but that's no reason for feeling a person is a senile old fool because they don't hear. Because maybe their brain is thinking straighter and truer often than the person who hears every word.
I can't quote this exactly, but I heard a week or so ago someone was talking about Margaret Mead, who is a famous anthropologist, and she must be in her 70s now. I'm not sure what her age is. But they were discussing age with several other older people. And they were discussing what age did they think they were. And I think Margaret Mead said that she felt that she had stopped at about 13 as far as her inner age. We recently had an astronomer come and spend 2 weeks at Sangamon State, where I teach, and he was 72 years old. He had the enthusiasm and the vitality, even though he had a heart condition, of a 12-year-old kid. He had first discovered astronomy when he was 12, and he still had that much excitement and interest in the astronomy. And so his body was slowing down, so he had to go upstairs slowly so that this heart condition would not, you know, be aggravated. But when you were talking to Bart Bach, It was like talking to a kid of 12 with great enthusiasm, and you were so excited to be around him. And I think this is what Margaret Mead means. You know, Bach would say, well, inside, I'm the same as I was when I was 12.
There's a dynamo there, and there's a life there, and there's a vitality there.
He's learned a lot.
And as long as that vitality there, there's some personality. I don't think we deserve respect because of age.
And don't you kids know, kids, I do, that are old at 12?
Oh, yeah.
They're bored. They're blasé. They don't have any thoughts.
They don't have any curiosity about anything.
Or any curiosity.
They're not in search of anything.
And I feel sorry for them because I think it's partly the problem of the culture that what we give kids is often so
boring.
Trivial and so boring. And if you plunk yourself in front of the TV for 6 or 8 hours a day, of course you end up sort of old before your time.
They try to make kids older and they try to make adults younger.
Well, after all, 21 is the age everyone wants to be, isn't it?
Not me. I wouldn't want to be 21 again.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. I mean. That's in the advertising, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that inside us, I think that we have an age that really doesn't have a whole lot to do with our chronological
age. Well, I want
age.
To die when part of me is dead. I don't want to live on. After I'm a dead mind.
Elizabeth, I don't think that time is ever going to come for you, so I think you're probably just going to live forever. That's what my dad says. He says he intends to live forever, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does, because he's one of these people that is constantly interested, discovering new things. He'll call me up long distance to tell me some new discovery. And I think that's what makes the difference in an old person or a young person.
Well, I think an old person can learn as much, often, from a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old as the 12-year-old or the 8-year-old or the 4-year-old can learn from anybody. I'm constantly learning from those children that come there, as well as for the college professors.
Right, from the mouths of babes.
Right. And yet there are some babes, age 10, 12, so forth, that seem to think they know everything and that there's nothing to learn. And those are the ones that are old and that I feel sorry for. I have a paper here I'd like to just give a couple of notes from. A student of mine, Betty Para, wrote a paper on books for children about old age. But instead of going into the books, at the end of it, she talked to some old people and said what these old people said what they would like children to think about them. And here's just a couple. She says, Wally is 85 years old and he lives in a house that he built about 60 years ago. And then she tells a little more about him. And then she says, Wally would like children to realize that old people live for the future too. He knows just what he will try new in his garden next year or where he will go on his next fishing vacation. And then she has Ralph, who is 75 years old. And she says, Ralph would rather children would help him because they want to learn a new experience or just for the joy of the work, whether it be mental or physical. He believes that the old man in him may not be able to do the actual work, but that he is one hell of a supervisor. And I thought
that
was very refreshing.
That joy in whatever it is you're doing is a basic part of life. It gives you a goal. And I don't care what age you are, if you have no satisfaction in the doing of the thing, if that in itself isn't an end, there's something in you that isn't alive.
Some joy in your work and your play and some vitality of... And in the people, yes.
The people you meet. Every new type, every new age. That person has something to give you.
There's lots more we could say on the topic of age and how we feel about it, but our time is running out, and so let's give a few suggestions for writing. Write how you feel about your own age. project, for instance, how you think you will feel when you are my age, 50, or when you are Elizabeth's age, 86. Imagine, for instance, that you can go into any room in a long corridor that has an age on the door, and all those ages are your ages. Pick one to go into. 46, 63.
2 years old.
2 years old. You can go back to when you were little.
I'll go forward just a year or two.
And go in and meet yourself at a different age and see what you're like.
See that little child crawling around the floor. And
you're going for the little ones, Elizabeth, and I'm going for the older ones. Okay, we'll give you your choice. Try imagining being a different age. That's a writing topic. Another one would be, tell us about someone that you know. An old person, for instance, who does not seem to fit the stereotype of being old. You know, sitting around and waiting to die. Tell us about an old person that is interested and vital and fits this sort of thing. The inner person. Do any of the rest of you have any writing suggestions?
If you have something to give, you're not old. And the person who has nothing to give, he merely gets. He's already old.
Okay. Let's end on that. Write to us how you feel about age.